for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, and I will be found of you when ye shall seek me with all your heart, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Then I will be found of you, yes, I will be found of you when ye shall seek me with all your heart.
Are there conditions for answers to prayer?
The Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 7, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." The Apostle John said in his first epistle, chapter 3, verses 21 to 23, "Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment."
In the world, the power and influence of any mediator depends on his personality and his relationship with the person with whom he is mediating. So it is with God, where the answer to prayer depends on the person of Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator, and whose condition for mediating on our behalf is that we abide in him and his word abides in us.
The Lord Jesus explained this abiding in the parable of the vine, where he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." These verses are found in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5.
True believers are branches in Christ, who is the true vine, and for them it is possible to have prayer answered. Indeed, it is expected of the believer that he should abide in Christ, keep his commandment, and walk in perfect obedience in heart and life. Then he can pray in righteousness, and the Lord will grant his supplications.
Some wonder why they fail to have this blessed life, the life of the branch abiding in the vine. They should consider the important words in the parable of the vine, where the Lord Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and ye are the branches." This means that we have the glorious Son in the fullness of his divinity, and the Father also, who watches over us as branches, observing the growth of each branch. If neglect intervenes and hinders our divine growth, thus limiting our fruitfulness, the vine dresser will surely take his pruning knife to cleanse us.
The Bible gives us examples of the power of prayer in the lives of Abraham, Moses, and Elijah, and mentions the fruitfulness of their lives. When we consider their lives, we find that before they obtained these privileges and blessings, they accepted the Lord's discipline with joy and obeyed his commands by separating from the world, which is Satan's realm.
So, my friend, if you desire to acquire the privilege of being a man of prayer, submit to the divine vine dresser when he applies the pruning knife to your life. Do not be afraid of anything, for the knife is the word of God, according to the saying of Christ. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. And according to Christ's prayer of intercession, which says, Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth.
What is the secret of prevailing prayer?
The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and Be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. These verses are found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. These are wonderful words assuring us that faith is a secret of prevailing prayer, which moves the heart of God. In them, the Lord gives us two basic elements essential for prayer. The first is the desire of the heart.
The prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12, said, And ye shall seek me, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The heart's desire is the spirit of prayer, and if the desire is weak, the prayer is bound to be weak also. A believer may have true desires for spiritual blessings, but has, on the other hand, worldly desires taking the first place. Such a person cannot expect power in his prayer, because he is not abiding by the command of the Lord in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, which says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
The second element essential for prayer is faith.
All that you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive it. By faith we know God, by faith we receive the Lord Jesus, by faith we live the overcoming life. Likewise, by faith, we have the life of prayer and the power of prayer. We need to learn afresh what faith is and begin to live by faith and pray in faith.
Have faith in God, said the Lord when he spoke about the faith which removes mountains, and which he gives to his disciples of every generation and age. By this faith, the early Christians did miraculous works, healed the sick, and cast out demons. These works were as if mountains were removed.
If we long for the life of prayer and intercession, where there is joy and power and blessing, we must learn anew what faith is, for faith deals with God and takes him at his word.
Faith accepts an answer from God before actually seeing it. Faith sees the invisible. This seems strange, but it is at the heart of prayer. The blessing of heaven, God's answer to prayer, is spiritually understood before being perceived by the eye. Faith does this, and the soul which seeks God and his answer will be given the assurance that the things it has asked for will be given. According to Christ's word, Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you.
Christ said, All that you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you will have it. This is a word of assurance to the one who prays, that the Heavenly Father hears the prayers of faith and gives the answer. Begin in faith, my friend, even if it is weak. Begin the new life of prayer, and you will be assured that you have obtained grace in Christ. This grace will lead you, step by step, to be faithful in prayer. Expect the Holy Spirit to work within your heart. It is God who said, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, "And it shall come to pass, that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear, and he will do as he has said."
Guides our prayer.
We read in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And in the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 18, we read, "Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints."
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of prayer, the Spirit of grace and supplication which is poured into the believer's heart. The Bible says, "He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, in spirit and in truth."
Prayer, in its essence, is the expression of the Holy Spirit in us. Wait on Him and trust Him, and believe in Him. Disappointment and failure in prayer comes from lack of submission to the guidance of the Spirit. Correct and prevailing prayer depends on the extent to which we are filled by the Holy Spirit.
In whose name must prayer be offered?
Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus desires us to trust absolutely in the power of his name, to which all must bend the knee, and in him all prayer is answered.
There is a truth we must understand, that prayer in the name of Christ does not mean uttering his name at the beginning and at the end of prayer. It means the believer should pray in the Spirit of Christ and through his merit and person.
The words, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it," mean that if prayer is made to the Father, the one who answers will be Christ in his own name and power. Believers pray in Christ's name, and he works in the Father's name.
In fact, when a person believes, he thinks first of the worthiness of Christ and his intercession, which is the basis of our faith. However, when he grows in grace and knowledge of Christ, he enters into a deep union with him. The result is that he learns prayer in the name of Christ, is prayer in the Spirit of Christ. In other words, union with Christ gives us fellowship in his nature, and then there is in us the power of his prayer.
He said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you." This means the believer, in whose heart Christ lives, can enjoy all power inherent in Christ's name. This is not surprising, for Jesus taught us what prayer is, the meaning of prayer in his name, to pray as he did, and to pray in union with him.
Who is our advocate?
Christ taught us how to pray, and through his divine words, we know the meaning of prayer in his name. There remains only for us to know Christ in his role of advocacy and intercession.
He ended his farewell message to his disciples with a prayer of intercession, with which he sealed all his past works. Then he interceded for his own, saying, "I pray for them. Keep them in thy name. Sanctify them in the truth."
No doubt this prayer is a sample of his intercession in heaven. Inspired by this truth, the Apostle Paul, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, said, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them."
We understand from this verse that he still continues his work of salvation in heaven, as he did on earth, in continual fellowship with the Father, in direct intercession before him. Every work of grace in Christ is always preceded by his intercession, and every blessing descending on us from above, carrying the divine impress, comes through the intercession and advocacy of Christ.
Without doubt, the advocacy of Christ is the fruit of the atonement and its glory. When he gave himself to ransom humanity, he had one goal: the glory of God in their salvation, and by his intercession, this goal is realized. For God is glorified in the salvation of a sinner, who in turn, through salvation, becomes a means to the praise of God's glory.
What are the conditions of acceptable prayer?
There are certain conditions for prayer to be acceptable, or there would be no value in it. Most important of these conditions are the following.
First, prayer must come from the heart. The Lord, who searches the hearts, is in no need of words or outward appearances. The prayer which is not from the heart does not please God, and he does not accept it.
Second, it must be reverent and in keeping with his unbounded greatness and holiness, his knowledge and power. Since his will is the first and foremost principle of all true religion, even as it is among all those who know God and glorify his holy name and worship him with the reverence of the angels in heaven, we must not come to him with words lacking in reverence.
Third, it must be in humility, seeing we are unworthy because of our depravity and uncleanness in God's sight. We must therefore follow the example of Isaiah the prophet, who said, "Woe unto me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips."
Fourth, it must be in a spirit of complete surrender to God. Whoever surrenders himself to God, whatever his request may be, let him say, "Lord, not my will, but thine." If a child knows he must commit his affairs to his earthly father, how much more must we submit our wills to our heavenly Father, who alone knows what is good for us?
Fifth, it must be in faith, because only the prayer of faith is effective before God. A doubter cannot receive anything from God. The suppliant has to believe that
God exists, God is able to hear and answer prayer, God loves to answer, God will surely answer if our prayer is according to his will and for our own good.
Sixth, the suppliant must seek the glory of God and not his own, nor must he seek his own ambitions emanating from greed.
Seventh, prayer must be in the name of Christ, who is declared by Holy Scripture as the one and only mediator and advocate.
Finally, prayer must be in accord with God's purpose and claims.
Prayers are enjoined for each day.
In the Jewish Talmud, it is prohibited for a person to pray more than 3 times a day, as God is weary of prayer every hour. But Christ, who came from God, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1, taught that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Of course, he did not mean that we are to pray for 24 hours a day on our knees, but that we should never tire of prayer.
As for the number of times for prayer, the Bible does not stipulate, but we have many examples of men of prayer. Daniel the prophet used to pray in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. David, in Psalm 119, verse 164, said, 7 times a day I praise thee for thy righteous ordinances.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35, tells us that the Lord Jesus used to rise very early in the morning and go to some lonely place to pray. When we consider the lives of men of prayer outside the Bible, we note that most found the early hours of the morning, that is, before the day's work, the best time for prayer. No doubt, the early morning is the best time for spiritual meditation. At that time, our spirits are active and alert. It is the best always to give the Lord the first fruits of our time.
A saint once said, "Morning is the door of the day. It is good to guard it by prayer." Another said, "Morning is one of the cords which binds our daily activities, so it is good to bind it well with prayer."
The religion of the gospel does not limit prayer to special times, but leaves it to the desires of the heart. He whose heart is joined to the Lord prays and is not weary of doing so. His prayer may not be one of words to praise the Lord, but it can still be an activity which glorifies God. Prayer, as understood from God's word, is a state rather than a form. It is the spirit more than words, and a fellowship with God in love more than a religious duty.
It is true Christ gave his disciples a living pattern of prayer, but it is not a mold into which prayer can be poured and become rigid. He intended it to be a starting point for prayer to germinate and spread. When he gave them this pattern, he said, "Pray then like this," which is to say, in the Spirit.
Dear listener, if you would like to know more about communication with God, faith in Christ, and the Christian life, or if you have any questions related to religion and salvation, please write openly to the following address: The Good Way, Post Office Box 66, CH 8486, Recon, Switzerland.